Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
All right, let's have a good Monday. I'm just smitten by Jordan Spieth, but I don't know if he has the charisma to be the next Tiger Woods. That's what I came away with from the weekend. I must admit, other than the Diamondbacks game on Saturday night when I went to see Archie Bradley, Jordan Spieth has me. The Masters all weekend has me. But today, it's Overreaction Monday. We just caught that through the years. Eric, Overreaction Monday is one of those things that we've known for even before the social media age, right? That Monday is the sky is falling.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything's falling apart.
Usually it's reserved for the fall because it's football season and everyone's playing Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
But I guess it could be in the spring as well.
I felt like as I was watching Spieth on Friday, Thursday I was in and out. Friday I was more into him, and then Tiger in the leaderboard with Phil and all the big names. Saturday was as good a day in sports as I've had in a while. You know, the Final Four was the week before, and that was fine, but the first game of the Final Four wasn't any good. I still have a hard time today believing that Tiger, Dr. Tiger Woods. I didn't know Tiger was a doctor. You know, we all take our wrist and we can all pop a ligament back in place. I don't know why he would go down that path. We're going to talk about that as the show moves along today. And the broadcast, Tiger cursing on Saturday. There's nothing quite like on a Saturday hearing Tiger Woods drop an F-bomb. Many of you don't like it. I am one of those when I'm on a golf course, I don't drop F-bombs. I have fun. I can be competitive. I can get mad at myself, but I never get to that point. But there's some in the audience today and some just in general that when you're on a golf course, it feels good to just drop that. And so when you hear Tiger drop one like he did, it was a beautiful thing, actually.
And he's done it so many times. It's not like it was a big surprise. People weren't like, oh, my gosh, did you hear what Tiger? I mean, of course, social media blew up after it happened.
Yeah,
but
I
saw it, and I just kind of chuckled like, oh, this should be fun for the next half hour on Twitter.
As soon as he let it fly, I was laughing. I was like, okay, here we go. But Jordan Spieth would never do that. Phil Mickelson would never do that. And Jordan Spieth talks to the golf ball. He's kind of like Mark Fidrich, kind of like the bird back in baseball days where he sits there and he talked to the ball. Every shot that he put out there, he was talking to the ball, which I thought was fun.
It's crazy to think that kid, and he really is just a kid,
yeah,
should be graduating from the University of Texas like either this spring or sometime in the fall.
He didn't act like a
21-year-old. No, God, no. No, no, no.
Nothing.
He's very pointed and almost boring. I mean, it's
well,
just...
that's my point, is the charisma side of him, okay? When I hear today that the world is going to... That golf is in great hands for the next 10 years. I don't know. Rory McIlroy, to me, when I watch him, he's fine. He looks like he could play linebacker. He's just built in a certain way.
There's just not a lot of sizzle. I mean, Tiger is such a great, you either love Tiger or
sure,
you hate him.
Sure.
Sports needs great villains. That's why when Kobe Bryant retires,
it's a bad day.
It's a bad day. It's a bad day. I don't know if Jordan has the edginess to him, because that's what makes Tiger Tiger, the edginess, or that's what made Tiger Tiger, I should say.
I don't know if he's somebody that can go through, and we thought about getting some guests on today about this, but I just have a lot on my mind about what happened over the weekend. Because, again, today, everybody's making this great big coronation. When Jordan Spieth was out here at the Waste Management Open, I followed him around, and it was fine. It was fine. But it wasn't anything close to Phil. It wasn't anything close to Tiger. And I just don't know if that's going to resonate with people. You have to look at it from this standpoint. I think it's very fair. I've read and heard this brought up in the last 24 hours. If Phil Mickelson was in a spot where he ended up, not Justin Rose, on the final hole of Saturday, if Justin Rose doesn't do what he does and he's paired with Jordan Spieth yesterday, and if it would have been Phil Mickelson paired with Jordan Spieth yesterday, would Jordan Spieth have just wilted under the pressure of Phil Mickelson? Or is it different if it's Tiger and Jordan Spieth? Does Tiger just make Jordan Spieth feel very uncomfortable from the beginning? Because that's who he is out on the golf course. I've played golf with some guys that want to be the alpha male, and I just kind of laugh at it. It's like, okay, dude, whatever. I've actually kicked a guy out of my foursome because he's one of these guys on the first and second hole who's just cussing and swearing and throwing clubs, and I'm out there just having a good time. I'm like, you can leave now. Go play on your own. And so he cussed and swore at himself and threw clubs in front of us for the rest of the round, and it was kind of fun to watch. You know, and that's just bumping around. But when you're at the Masters, if Phil Mickelson had been with Jordan Spieth yesterday, would he have fared worse? Would he have felt the pressure? Because Justin Rose is no big deal. It's not like at any point Jordan Spieth would say, I'm playing with Phil or I'm playing with Tiger. Oh my gosh. And I had a double and everything's going to fall apart. So let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports other than just golf. Although I'm going to go back to golf. That's how I am. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. You want to get away from it all and head to the Honda Resort and Casino this summer? Right around the corner, it's the Sun Devil Club White Mountain event. And a lot of the Sun Devils are going to be there. Todd Graham and the coaches. Bobby Hurley, I was told, is going to be there. They'll be all up at Pine Top and playing at the Pine Top Lakes. And the Honda Resort and Casino, that's the place to stay. The Honda Resort and Casino. You're looking for that place to get away. A lot of you Sun Devil fans are going to head up for that event or just for the summer. The Honda Resort and Casino, again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Pull down on the slot, eat some great food, have some fun. And do it all with great entertainment, too, at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. I'm going to get back to the Masters in a second. Paula's going to join us, Paula Bovin, in about 15 minutes. The other stories from the weekend, and I'm going to circle back on Tiger in the next segment. Eric went to Tucson on Friday night for the Arizona spring game, and Arizona State had their spring game on Friday night as well that I went to, and Jared was there. And by the way, there's video on both those spring games up on our site, sports360az.com. You can check out all of our content there. I don't know what you can take away from spring games. They've gotten to the point where nobody wants to show anything. The games are shown on Pac-12 Network. You could have people in the bleachers from other teams that could get stuff out of it. So instead, they just kind of screw around, put on jerseys. It's a place to bring out fans, have a good time. It's really just turned into nothing more than a pep rally or a rah-rah. But the ASU spring game was a little sloppy, in my view. I mean, there's just some drop footballs and things along those lines. So it's not like I took anything away that it was all that. There were some drop balls and just a little bit of sloppiness. But, you know, what can you make out of it? Eric was down at the spring game in Tucson. What did was there anything down there that was newsworthy, noteworthy? I know you have some video you want to roll in here.
Everyone liked the fact that it was a night spring game, and I think people at ASU could echo the same thing. And Rich Rodriguez sort of made it sound like Anu Solomon wasn't guaranteed to be the starter, and all of us kind of chuckled when he said that because he's been hinting at that throughout the spring. But again, it was pretty vanilla, you know, pretty basic, not a lot of huge plays on either side of the ball.
Yeah.
Scooby Wright barely played. A couple of the other guys, they're just very cautious. It's just like, it's almost like you said, an event for the fans more than an actual spring game.
Sure. And based on the video I'm seeing, there weren't many there. Or were there people there?
They had a decent crowd. It was shot. They had everyone sitting on the east stands.
I see.
So the west stands, the sun would go behind the west stands. And they had some pretty decent crowd. But it was the cool thing was at the end, they had Rich Rod go up in the stands with a wireless mic and had kids call the plays for the final couple
of series.
Yeah, I mean,
see, that's what it's turned into.
That's it.
There's nothing major there. But so it's fine. It's fine. So the spring games took place, and if you want to check out video on both of those, we have reaction and all sorts of stuff. I know Jared did a big breakdown with Cartman on the ASU spring game. You can check all that out at sports360az.com. Lou Holtz and ESPN parted ways over the weekend. ESPN has taken the tact of Bobby Knight. At one time, you did appeal to people of a certain demographic. We are trying to get younger. Thank you for playing. That was about 2-3 weeks ago. Lou Holtz, you did at one time appeal to a certain demographic, and we want to get younger. So see you later.
But they'll never pull the plug on Lee Corso, which I find interesting because he's in that same demographic. But Lee has such a cult following.
He's resonated.
He has.
Well, Eric, and this is what I was getting to. So did I ever tune in to watch what Lou Holtz had to say? No. People would make fun of Lou Holtz because you could barely figure out what he was saying.
I didn't have as big of a problem with Lou Holtz as some other people did because I thought, teamed with Rhys Davis and Mark May, they made a pretty entertaining trio, especially for the post-game shows. But, I wasn't going to lose sleep either way if he came back or if he didn't come back.
Here's the thing. Holtz and Bobby Knight are probably in their early 70s.
Uh-huh.
Is that about right?
Lou's 78.
78, wow, okay. Yesterday, I heard, or all weekend long, I heard Vern Lundquist speak at the Masters. And he's so good. And he actually got choked up on the air on Saturday when they did the Ben Crenshaw, or Friday when they did the Ben Crenshaw deal on 18. And there's something about a reverence towards certain broadcasters that I hear. And then there's others, it's like, please go away. You know, you've been on too much. You annoy me. You're at that point. And there's some people that are like that as well.
And we saw it last week at the Final Four, Bill Rafter. That was great. That's the perfect example. Everyone was buzzing about how great it was to have Rafts. So
Raftery and Lundquist still have it. And still have it in such a big way that a millennial will resonate and take it in. A millennial will say, I want to hear what Vern Lundquist has to say. Again, the Masters over the weekend, Peter Costas was so good, and Nick Faldo was so good. I don't know about the schmaltziness of Jim Nantz. It's a little schmaltzy, you know, Butler Cabin and the Azaleas and just how it rolls. I don't know if I need that. I found myself wanting more of Faldo and Costas and Lundquist than any of the others. Bill McAtee, and here's some Tiger Woods, by the way. Here's Tiger on injury in his hand. This was yesterday after his round was done.
It definitely hurt. I didn't know there was a tree root there. And I drove the club straight into it. And it didn't move. but my body kept moving. And like, it was a little joint that popped out. And I was able to somehow put it back in, which didn't feel very good, but at least it got back in and I could move my hand again.
Dr. Woods, who knew, right? We all have had ligaments pop out. That story just sounds so bogus. Like if I'm sitting there talking to him on the post-game thing and I'd get fired by Augusta because the Masters doesn't want any sort of controversy, I would say, are you kidding me? You popped out a ligament in your wrist and put it back in yourself.
It happened last week. Jared Nielsen was running the board, and it happened, and he popped a ligament, and
sure,
he just popped it right back into
sure
place during the show.
We all do that.
There was no press conference about it.
Any of you guys at work, you've all popped ligaments out in your wrist, and you just adjusted it yourself. I don't know why he would say that, but it sounds good. And you saw the root pop out through the air when he hit it. And my reaction was, oh no, I don't want to see him hurt. On the other side, so Archie Bradley has got my attention. The attorney for Jameis Winston, I found myself listening to an interview with him late Friday night. The reaction that he had about Jameis Winston, that story caught my eye too over the weekend. More on the Masters, Paula in about 10 minutes, but Archie Bradley up next. I'm Brad Sussmann.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
There was a Dodger home game in Phoenix on Saturday night that I decided to go to. Actually, Jared went and wrote about Archie Bradley. Eric went, and am I right in describing it as a Dodger home game? That's how it felt to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a sea of blue when we were exiting the stadium.
What do you think? It
game.
Was 70? When we were walking in, we walked in like at 4 o'clock. I missed the Hello Kitty bobblehead, and my life was over and devastated. It was already gone. When we walked in, we walked out of the parking garage, and all I saw was blue. I just saw blue everywhere. And we had nice seats, and Archie Bradley pitched, and Archie Bradley has become my new favorite local Valley professional athlete. We have guys that come along that we look at and say, oh, I cannot wait to watch this player play. There is nobody like that on the Phoenix Suns. Nobody. On the Arizona Cardinals right now, a young player that is coming out and into the bursting onto the scene. I think Andre Ellington was probably that early last season. You know, Patrick Peterson, certainly when he first jumped on board, that was cool. But it was once every week, and there's only 8 weeks that I could see that player in person at home. Archie Bradley, I think that there was a level of anticipation around seeing how he would pitch. The Diamondbacks guys are a 500 team today. That's all I want this year, just above, barely above 500. And here's the thing. Archie Bradley, I think, will have people sitting in front of their television sets when he pitches next. I think it's against the Giants, Eric, if I remember right. He was really good the other night against Kershaw. And there was just enough offense. Like yesterday was dreadful. Cole Mentor got just beat on again. But Archie Bradley comes out and he's throwing strikes. Adrian Gonzalez ends up being his first professional career strikeout. That's pretty cool to tell people. And he had a no-hitter going. He made some mistakes. His pitch count got up. The veteran players on the Dodgers made him work. Here's Archie Bradley, though. He gets the win in the game on Saturday night.
I mean, everything that it is. I mean, my debut, the closest people in the world being here for me, and then just this team getting a win. I mean, that's the ultimate thing. I mean, obviously it's exciting to be here and to pitch, but, you know, you don't picture, you know, going out there anyway, but then getting a win. And so to get a win, you know, for this team and then in my debut is pretty special.
Chip Hale, the manager of the Diamondbacks on Archie's debut. Here's Chip Hale.
Did a good job. Got his first hit. Got picked off for the first time.
That's funny. That's
and he funny. Threw the ball well. He gave us six innings. I mean, that was really important for us. And I'm sure it can be, you know, he can even do better than that. That's a great thing about it. But his stuff was really good.
So they get the win, and they take two of three from the Dodgers over the weekend. They're in San Diego tonight. I think for Bradley, it's the fact that he beats Clayton Kershaw. Not only did he beat him, Kershaw has not been good so far. Through the first week of the season, maybe the Atlanta Braves knew something when they decided to part ways with guys to the Padres. The Padres within the division knew something. I saw Kimbrel last night come in and slam the door on the Giants. That the Dodgers are not invincible. They've had so many injuries. They've been beat up third base. They went through like, what, two or three third basemen, Eric, when the game Saturday night? You were there too.
And they just had some players where I just like, who is it? I mean, we didn't get to see Puig on Saturday
because
he rested or he was off or whatever.
He's not been playing well.
He has not been. He got benched. But they just had some guys like, wow, who is this person?
And Kershaw was not great. You watch him. Kershaw so far this season in two starts, his ERA is almost six. Here's what I like about the Diamondbacks through the first week of the season. Okay, we all know the starting pitching is nothing to get excited about outside of Archie Bradley. It just isn't. But they are fundamentally much better than they were under Gibson. Fundamentally, they're just sound. They don't make many mistakes. Bradley got picked off. I didn't see much of yesterday's game. Maybe a few pitches here and there just to see the Dodgers crushing them. So yesterday they could have stunk out loud. I don't know. I was into the Masters yesterday. But through the first week, the games that I've seen, they're not making the dumb errors, the poor base running decisions. I kind of like the fact, I like Ahmed at short. I know he's not hitting worth a darn. I like seeing these kids. You know, Pollock and Inciarte at the top of the lineup, when they decide that they're going to do something with Tomas, who is going to go? Because you're not going to pay somebody $70 million. If they do, I'll sign up for that. I'm not going to pay somebody $70 million to sit around on the bench in Reno. And they need a little bit more offense, but they're not that far away.
My two biggest takeaways were, number one, this team plays really hard.
Yeah.
And number two, they play really loose. There's not the pressure of this team. The expectations are so low.
Right.
That they can just go out there and play baseball. They don't have a bunch of money wrapped up in salaries. They're not expected to win the NL West. They're not even expected to finish in the top half of the NL West.
It was the Giants and Dodgers to open the season.
And they're 3-3.
They're 3-3.
It's not bad.
It's fine. It's fine. And I don't know how long they're going to go with the guys that they have in the rotation, but I know this, that when Archie Bradley pitches again, I believe it's Thursday that he throws again. I thought I heard him say against the Giants.
Because they only won five or six games all of last April.
Yeah, they were done.
Including the trip to Australia.
Yeah, they were done.
They're pacing well.
Yeah, they were done. You know, it's almost to the point with me where I start looking like I'm one of these guys that I was telling my wife this as we were driving home, my 10-year-old son. I think Bradley will pitch next Wednesday or Thursday. Okay, I need to circle that and I'll watch it. Then I think he's going to pitch against Texas the following week at home. I'm going to go to that game. Maybe I'll take a friend. Maybe I'll take a buddy. Maybe I'll take a client. I don't know.
I'm a little more skeptical, though, because...
With him?
Yeah, because you know what? Hitters are smart.
Second
baseball
time
clubs are smart.
Yeah.
You know, there's tape on him now. Well, I'll be curious to see after his third and fourth start how effective he is.
Maybe it's because he gets the ball and he doesn't jerk around.
I love that.
He just, I mean, if you didn't see him, he gets up and it's on. Like the pace of play rules, here's your poster child. He was great.
Even though he threw like 900 pitches the first four innings, but he made it.
I know. The other thing I want to talk about in this segment was Jameis Winston. So the draft is coming up in a couple of weeks, and we've got some stuff on Jameis that along with Mariota that Peter King gave us last week. And Peter's doing some stuff with us leading up to the draft, as always. But this note popped up. I heard an interview on Friday night where Jameis Winston's attorney, David Cornwell, he spoke Friday in an event. And Cornwell said at this event, it was the, and it's going to make me gag when I have to say Morad, but Villanova's Morad Sports Law Journal Symposium. That's what Jeff Morad's doing now after he screwed up the Diamondbacks. Cornwell said about Jameis, he's ready to be an NFL player on the field, but he's not ready to be an NFL player off the field. Now, if it's the attorney and you're the owner of the team or the general manager of the team, and you hear this quote by this attorney who's representing Jameis Winston, that he's not ready to be an NFL player off the field, do I have a red flag up saying, if the attorney is saying that he's not ready for that, or is this just simply the attorney throwing something out there that a guy like me will take the bait and the hook and go full bore and talk about how, well, he's got to prove himself. Is it the attorney's way of working us into a frenzy? And he knows that, you know what, he's better than that, but this will put him on guard. I don't know. The Winston story, along with Manziel leaving rehab, and Joe Thomas, the leader of the Browns, saying, Johnny Manziel's got to prove to us he wants to play football. That's a pretty strong statement. But there's two high-level guys that are sitting there on this Monday that are in the middle of the storm. You know, Winston, for all the things that he's done, the attorney's saying that his situation is not unique. I don't know. How many guys you know that have gone out and done things like a BB gun fight on campus, shoplifting crab legs from a grocery store, standing on a cafeteria table and shouting obscenities? Is it just that in this day and age that all this stuff gets out there and that's always been that case? The attorney said further, I don't think anyone is ready. No one is ready for this NFL world when they come into it. And because of that, Cornwell and others are helping Winston work on that aspect. I'm glad the Cardinals aren't faced with the debate of whether to take Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota. I would not want to have another quarterback flame out here in Arizona. I already had that with Leinart. It was a disaster. So that's on my mind as well. Paula's next. We'll talk with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist on all things around the world of sports from the weekend, including Bobby Hurley. She was there. Michael Crow was a little bit in the way, I thought. But you can't, I don't think anybody dislikes the hiring of Bobby Hurley. We'll get Eric involved in this too, because he was there too. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussman.
I'm going to start in reverse with Paula, and that is the Bobby Hurley press conference on Friday. What did you make out of Michael Crow berating or chiding a reporter from the Arizona Daily Star in the middle of Bobby Hurley's day?
Funny, I've been talking to some people down at Arizona who didn't take too kindly to it. You know, I think I didn't think he was berating. I think he was poking fun at it, and I think a couple things. I think he kind of was caught up in the moment. You know, it was an atmosphere there that wasn't just media. There were ASU staff. I think there were some big cigars, as you like to call them, there. Mm-hmm. And I think he kind of got swept up in the moment and was playing that. And that's also Michael Crow. I mean, the man does not lack for confidence. And so, you know, maybe this was sort of his way of responding to Sean Miller's, you know, go cheer for ASU. I'm not quite sure.
I would like to see Michael Crow sit in the front row at press conferences in the future. How's that? That's where I'm at.
I got you. Yeah, you know, you're not alone in that thought. So yeah. I've gotten to know him fairly well. I wasn't bothered by it, but I know a lot of people were.
I think people at ASU and the athletic department feel the same way, but they'll never say it.
Fearing
for their jobs.
Right.
In terms of Hurley, there's no downside on Bobby Hurley, is there?
No, only that there is, you know, there are more proven coaches out there. He only has, 2 years of head coaching experience. I mean, if you have to find a downside, that's it. But considering, you know, where ASU is, their options, what they could pay somebody, I just thought they scored big time. You know, I've been that's my era when I was really, really cared about college basketball. And so I'm admittedly sort of swept up with that Duke team and fascinated by it and have high regard for it. But everything I've heard about Hurley from people I've talked to, he just, when you have had as many championships as he's had throughout his life, when you've done it sort of that blue-collar way. And the other thing I thought in that press conference, there wasn't a lot of phoniness that came out of it. You know, he's just a straight shooter who wants to get the job done. That's what really struck me. And, I mean, I know he's already hit the recruiting trail hard. He's at a lot of big events the next couple of days and stuff. So,
did you see Pete Thamel's piece on him last month? I retweeted it the other day.
I don't know if I saw his. I saw some really good ones, you know, when he got in the tournament, which was
this was documenting the lowest of low after the motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
But this also went into his horse racing era that he went into and how that ended badly.
Sure, you know, he lost some money with that for sure.
And how he just did not like the game. We had Bobby Hurley Sr. on the show after the press conference. And I'm bringing this up from the standpoint of this kid's hungry.
Right.
I call him a kid. This coach is hungry. This is not Steve Lavin is bouncing from one job to the other. Bobby Hurley went from losing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he almost lost his life.
Right.
Then he lost a lot of money. Then
right.
he lost some stuff in the way of property around that whole horse racing thing.
Sure.
Then he got into coaching. And, you know, when you go from Wagner to Buffalo to Arizona State, that's a pretty good flight. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that you're catching this guy where he's not on job number five and he's just kind of like, yeah, I'll come here and turn this thing around. I think he has a lot to prove. And his dad said he's fallen back in love with the game in the last few years. And I want that in my coach.
No question about it. And the hunger thing, I mean, I think it's so valuable. And I think we've talked about this before, but the one thing I got out of the Final Four when talking to other coaches about some of the candidates, there were a few candidates named who weren't at the top of their game anymore as far as the recruiting trail, as far as how many hours you want to invest in it. And how much you want to do, you know, you have to, when you coach at this high level, you have to put in a lot of work. And some of those guys weren't at that place. Hurley is definitely at that place. And I just think it was such a great fit and such a great idea. And it doesn't bother me at all. Some people worry about the whole West Coast recruiting. You know, there's enough parents out there who will open the door for him, and all he needs to do is get in the living room.
Anybody who's worried about Bobby Hurley being able to recruit West Coast, in my view, is not caught up in the day and age of digital.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They just this whole thing of the world is so much closer than 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, can he recruit Los Angeles? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a Southwest flight, and he's the all-time assist leader.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, and that quote, I think it was Trey Holder, said just the other day he had watched that I Hate Christian Laettner documentary on ESPN and got to know more about Bobby Hurley.
Sure.
Just coincidentally before even this happened. So, yeah, that's not an issue at all.
All right, so let's move on to some other things. Mm-hmm. Is Jordan Spieth charismatic enough? I've been talking about that today, and it leads me over to Archie Bradley. I think that we have to have stars that we can latch on to that have charisma. I don't know if Jordan Spieth has that. I think Archie Bradley has it. And Saturday night was an event at the ballpark. It was actually something to do. And yeah, it was mostly a Dodger convention. It was 70-80% blue there. But did you see Archie Bradley? And are you sold on this kid?
Wow. You know, a couple things when I was watching that game. I could not take my eyes off that game. One was, you know, they're cutting away to his parents and they're all nervous. And you know, just that storyline and the value of this organization waiting. And I know he got hurt and that was part of it. But there were times I know that they were on the fringe of calling him up and they didn't. And maybe the value of this organization waiting, the benefit of that. And totally got swept up in the game. And I totally buy into his potential. He just seemed to have such great poise. Now, I know when you go through the majors a second time, and as far as at-bats and sure, guys have seen you, sometimes that changes. But he just seems to have the right demeanor. Jordan Spieth is an interesting situation because I've been sitting here trying to figure out, you know, even if he starts doing what Tiger did, why Tiger seems so much more of an interesting story to me.
Because he's charismatic. Jordan Spieth, and this is not a criticism of him.
No.
Jordan Spieth is everything that a dad would want in his son from what I've been able to gain by
sure,
watching and how he's handled himself. And when you're playing cards with your grandfather the night before the final round of the Masters and you have the conversation that we're not talking golf, we're just here to play cards, and you have a special needs little sister that is a big part of what you do,
mm-hmm,
I have to tell you, I'm all in on that. But when Tiger was pumping his fist Saturday, it just took me back. It's not like old guy watching golf. It was, okay, this guy's got the it factor. If yesterday, Paula, if yesterday Jordan Spieth is paired with Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson rather than Justin Rose,
mm-hmm,
I don't know if he wins.
Right.
You know what I mean by that?
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's hard to say at his age what he'd be like. But you're right. I guess that's part of why I've always, when Tiger's on the course, even when he was struggling, I wanted to watch The Promise of Greatness. But the emotions he sort of experiences, too, you kind of live the ups and downs with him. And that kind of, that puts you on the course maybe more than it does with Jordan Spieth. And he's such a great story. And like you said, we're not ripping him. But there's definitely something different. And you know, maybe because Tiger did it and did it fairly recently in our memories, maybe that's part of it too. I don't know. But it's, it was fun to care about golf again. And I really cared about golf yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know about you and how many times you've popped your ligament back into a place when you're on the golf course. Just like, do you buy that story, by the way?
Well, see, now I just had this conversation. Would he really lie about that on national TV? A lot of people say yes. I can't imagine he would make that up with so many people listening.
Dr. Woods just kind of moved everything around, you know, and there you go.
I guess I'm too trusting.
I don't know.
I've survived in this business so long, I don't know. I shouldn't be as trusting as I am.
Here's the thing on Spieth. Spieth has grown up in an era of Golf Channel.
Mm-hmm.
So how many press conferences has he seen Phil Mickelson? Because he strikes me a little bit as Mickelson. You know, Phil's never going to go out of his way. Phil's never going to cuss.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Tiger dropped an F-bomb on Friday, and it was like Friday afternoon, I was like, yes, that's still Tiger. That's still the guy.
I remember that guy, yeah.
As uncomfortable as it was where he hits the shot and it's GFD and, oh my gosh, that's Tiger Woods.
It feels weird to not embrace people who are doing the right thing and holding their emotions in check and everything else.
Sure.
But there's also something that's not really human about it. I mean, there's a little bit of that, you know, Tim Duncan cyborg thing going on where you kind of like just want them to react in some way, shape, or form and show a little bit more emotion.
Show me
so
you have a
I guess
pulse.
That's where I am.
Yeah, show that you have a pulse. You know, you're human about this.
Right, right.
What do you make out of, have you seen the comments from Jameis Winston's attorney that he's ready to be on the field in the NFL, but he's not ready to be on the field in the, off the field rather. He's not ready off the field in the NFL. You know, Winston Mariota were 2 weeks away on this deal.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was really interesting. His attorney would basically rip him. Or is he just throwing bait out there for guys like me to jump on? and bring more attention to his client, that his client is going to walk the straight and narrow. I don't know. I mean, David Cornwell is always there for guys that are in trouble. That's the deal. If you get in trouble, David Cornwell's the attorney. He's the cleanup mess guy.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the motivation for it because I didn't see a lot of value in it unless, you know, he's trying to, when Jameis Winston does well off the field, say, then maybe he, you know, he had everybody's expectations down or something. It was weird, and it's also so interesting to me how, you know, Mariota seems to be gaining some more ground on him. There's been the back and forth, the who's better. Winston seemed like the guy for a while as far as draft gurus, and now Mariota's changing, and so I, you know, neither are going to be a draft day, right? But it's going to still be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Sure. Okay, so before I let you go, we're talking with Paula Bovin, a columnist, AZ Central, the Arizona Republic. As a columnist, is there any column worth writing about the Coyotes season as they clean out their lockers today versus writing a column about the Suns who will clean out their lockers on Wednesday? To me, there's a clear difference. What about you?
Well, for me, I mean, the Coyotes thing is interesting to me because, you know, they the percentage, as badly as they played, the percentages aren't that great for them to get one of those two picks because of how the NHL does their whole draft system. You know, they would have 20 or 30% or something like that. And if they end up with the number three pick, I think it's devastating to that franchise because I feel like it's kind of what they've been banking on. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be fine and they'll play, you know, 500 hockey or whatever it would be. But, I mean, I just think they're banking on this. And these two guys are such the real deal that I'm just fascinated by the whole draft aspect of it.
See, to me, the Suns have to have a sledgehammer brought out and just pummel them into the ground. Versus the Coyotes have stunk. They've stink. They're no good. They haven't been good. And Saturday, this coming Saturday, we'll get the lottery part figured out, and we'll find out if they get one of the two kids. The Suns have been a monumental collapse and failure this year. There's no other way to put it. No other way to spin it.
No, it's been awful. And when you put it, especially in the context of last season and the hope that was there, to see where it's gone now, and I'm really, for me, the whole thing has been sort of the on-court behavior, the leadership.
There is no leadership.
No leadership. Absolutely.
None.
Lack of. And
None.
Then, but then the voices of the agents complaining, the players complaining, people ripping the organization. How did it get to this point from where it was, you know, less than a year ago? It's pretty remarkable.
Paula, they don't do anything well. There is nothing that the Suns on the court do well. You can't point to anything. This has been an abject failure from year to year. There's no other way to put it.
Well, for me, it's in the context of how they not capitalized on last season and just got worse. And, you know, I mean, even Jeff Hornacek, who has had this impeccable reputation, who I still think is a terrific coach, even people are questioning his abilities and his leadership and all this other stuff.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
It is. It's just gotten really ugly.
He's the one that, look, he's got to play the deck that the cards have been dealt to him. And I think that whether it's McDonough or Babby, and you know I've never been a fan of Babby, it's just please move on. And Robert's got to make some sort of move. You can't just say, well, we had one of those years and nobody's head gets chopped off on this.
No.
They
have to do something. And I think we're going to see people on the roster now that aren't going to be on there next year. I think there's going to be changes. It's just how long is it? Are we in this another rebuilding mode?
That's it.
You know, that which is too bad considering how close they were last year to
Before you get out of here, are you working on anything good? You don't have to tell me, but are you taking a break finally?
No, I'm back to work and I am working on something good.
Yeah. You ever work on something and you just think this blows? I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yes. I midway through a column I'm writing, I'm going,
what is this?
What was I thinking?
Where was I going with this?
Yeah. Sadly, that's happened more than a few times.
All right. See ya.
All right, Brad.
It's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. She joins us, the talented Paula Bovin, every Monday. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I know it's a busy time of year for general manager Tim Hovick and company. At Santan Ford, it's the springtime, summer right around the corner. The F-150 guys are looking at summer plans saying, I need that new truck. I need to tow my boat. I've got summer vacation coming up. Well, have you thought about the F-150 for your summer plans? Maybe it's time for you to upgrade, get into a certified pre-owned like we did with the Explorer. At Santan Ford, they have a great variety, wide selection, and really good people. And on top of that, Tim and his company, they're huge sports fans. Tim Hovick is into it. You know, you see it right behind home plate in the Diamondback game, Santan Ford, that big yellow and blue sign. You see it right there on the homepage of sports360az.com. He's involved with the Cardinals. He's involved with Arizona State in a big way. You saw the big Ford logo behind Bobby Hurley. The Ford brand, that's a strong, strong brand. The shield there. Stop in and see for yourself the difference at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, a couple basketball notes I want to get to. Involving a former high school star player who's transferring within the Pac-12. On the Suns' season finally coming to an end, some NFL I want to touch on as well. That's in the next segment. I'm Brad Sussman. So they're throwing Jody Arias in the hole, huh? It's fine. I don't know what they're going to do locally with Jody Arias gone. That was like low-hanging fruit for the last year and a half. Well, what do we have today to do in our show? Jody Arias, of course. Eric, is it forever? She's never getting out, is that right? I guess it's
no opportunity for parole.
No opportunity for parole. See you later. Thank you for playing.
Yeah.
All right.
And finally.
The movie.
Finally.
But the movie will come out. I saw where Fox Sports Arizona, Brett Hansen, who does a good job over there, sent out a tweet that the Saturday game that we've been raving about with Archie Bradley, highest rated Diamondback game since last year. In 14, like early last year. And that's not a surprise with Archie Bradley. Archie Bradley, Jared sent me a text, will throw again this Thursday. I don't know if that's a day game or night game. I don't sit here and look up stuff while we're doing the show. But regardless, I will find my way to consume Archie Bradley content, which means then he'll pitch, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday's an off day, Tuesday. He should pitch next Tuesday at home against Texas. There's a reason to go next week. Did you see the iPhone watch? Are you going to get one of these, E?
No, not at all.
So there were nearly a million pre-orders Friday. Friday they released the iPhone watch pre-orders. The watch comes out a week from this Friday. Now, I've got my iPhone, and I'm an Apple guy. I'm just looking at the data here. 9,080 online shoppers. 957,000 people in the USA pre-ordered the smartwatch on Friday. Okay. Almost a million people on Friday. Do we have this, what this watch looks like? On average, they ordered more than one watch. They spent an average of $503 a watch. Now, this is the sport watch, right? This is the Apple sport watch.
Yep.
So the sport watch is only $382 a watch.
Oh, what a deal.
$382 for this watch. If they order the mid-tier Apple Watch, it's $707. I don't know if I want to roll. I just don't know. I was talking to my wife about this. If I have a watch on, is it kind of like the Jetsons where I'm going to push a button and say, you know, Eric, we should do this on the show? Is that just kind of creepy as you're driving along? We're all into technology. Guys, we're all about gadgets, right? We all want gadgets, but $707? Let me see this. It's further here. Unlike the past iPhone and the iPad launches, Apple did not make the first generation device available purchase in its stores. You have to pre-order it. Shipments will start on April 24th. Apple's not released any order data for some past sales launches. Analysts say that Apple expects to sell a million watches out of the gate. They're going to sell 10 million of these bad boys this year, according to Apple.
I love gadgets, but I don't need that gadget. I have a phone. That's plenty. I have lots of TVs in my house. That's plenty.
Prices for watches start at $349 for these Apple watches, but Tim Cook, their CEO, said that the iPhone watch could stretch up to $17,000. So I'm going to get this watch. And if I want to keep adding on to, do we have that picture again? If I want to keep adding on to this watch, the sport watch, I mean, $350 for a gadget. okay, but does that mean I can just turn it on and for another 100 I could actually speak to it? I don't know. I am fascinated by this. I think any guy is saying, well, I don't know, that's kind of cool, or no, I don't think I want that. Are we going to do an interview at some point off an Apple Watch?
Let's hope not.
Oh, I think that'd be cool.
Let's hope not.
He's calling in on his watch phone. Do you have his watch number? Like back in the day when I first started doing this 30 years ago, I remember I had, there was an agent. His name was Howard Slusher. Howard Slusher was one of the big heavyweight agents out there. And Howard Slusher once gave me his shower phone. Here's my office phone. Here's my cellular phone, which looks like, you know, the big brick back in the day.
Probably had a pager too.
Right. And then here's the shower phone. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I got a guy's phone number that's in his shower. We never put him on while he was in the shower. I think that would have been pretty good radio. Hey, can you put your soap down for a minute and talk to me? Or he's in the shower, you know, his mouth's full of water. Hey, Eric, call Larry Fitzgerald. He's on his watch phone. Can I get your watch phone number? Can you see that? Hey, let me text you my digits from my watch phone.
So he would just like look at his watch.
I'm guessing. Now we Skype guests too on this
hold
show.
Hold on, hold up his arm for 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to damage anybody, right? But you have to figure like athletes, because most athletes think that this money pit that they're in is just going to go on forever and ever and ever. You got to believe a lot of these guys are going to have their watch phones. So, you know, when we get guests by phone, I'm going to start asking some of these college guys coming into the draft the next few weeks, do you have your watch phone next? That's fascinating to me. All right. I get fascinated by just little things. On the other side, we'll reset what's going on in the world of sports. Sports360AZ.com. There's plenty of content up on our website, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. We have a lot of video that is up. Video is what we do, man. People consume video. We have video of the ASU scrimmage. We have video of the U of A scrimmage. We have a terrific story about four Desert Vista High School girls killing it in a track meet over the weekend nationally. And, of course, the Bobby Hurley press conference and all sorts of stuff that's up there on the video side. Archie Bradley, you can check all that stuff out. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.